بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد، brothers and sisters. I was speaking to a friend of mine, who Muslim friend of mine, who mentioned the Iblis and said that after all, he was also an angel and had disobeyed. Now, two points to this khatira. One is to debunk the these theories. And the reason I need to do that is because I see more and more Muslims, may Allah have mercy on us, we don't study our deen. We don't study the deen in a systematic manner from the people from whom we should be studying it, which is our ulama, our scholars who have been trained in our traditional scholastic tradition. Today the word scholar is one of the most bandied about words that exists. Everyone and his wife is a scholar. We have to try and understand what is the meaning of a Islamic scholar, right? And I would say that the number one requirement of an Islamic scholar is that the practice of Islam must be seen in his or her life, in their appearance, in their akhlaq, in their manners, in all that they say or do, in their muamilat, in their dealings with people, in their muashara, in their environment and surroundings. Now, this is it's a very important element of deciding who is a Muslim scholar. Now, you might say, well, why do I need to do that? I'm not sitting in judgment on anybody, and I absolutely, completely agree with you. We are not sitting in judgment on anybody. We should not sit in judgment on anybody. The reason we need to decide it is for the same reason that you need to decide, how do I find the best physician, the best doctor for whatever it is that is ailing me? I have a problem, I have a disease, I have an illness, I have a pain, and I need to find a doctor who can help me and guide me and provide for me a solution, a cure for my pain. What do? You assess the people out there in the world, in the marketplace, who claim to be doctors. And you say, first cut, is this person a doctor at all? Is this person a medical doctor? I'm not talking about doctor of philosophy, medical doctor at all. And second thing is then that person the kind of medical doctor that I need? If I have a ophthalmological problem, if I have a problem with my eye, I don't want to go to a gynecologist. I don't want to go to a orthopedist, right? Orthopedician. I need an ophthalmologist. I need a person who knows about eyes, who specializes in the ailments of the eyes. So that's exactly the way in which you would and should look for a sheikh, somebody to teach you. A sheikh is not the person with the biggest turban. A sheikh is not the person with biggest following on Instagram. The sheikh is not a person with the biggest noise on the internet. A sheikh's first and foremost requirement of a sheikh is to walk and talk like a Muslim. Very, very important. Does the person follow the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in all their lives, in their entire life, in their actions, in their speech, in their the different branches of Islam, which is akhlaq, muamilat, and muashara, which is what we see, the manners of a person, which includes, of course, their personal appearance. The second one is muamilat, their dealings with people, and then muashara, which is their environment. In this case, or culture, it would mean how that person is at home and so on and so forth, whatever of their culture we have access to and we know. So it is very important for us to first assess that. So if for example, the basic fundamental things of the sunnah, which is for the women, it is hijab and it is dressing appropriately. For the men, it is dressing appropriately plus a beard. These are things which which are literally the first cut. These are the things which will help you to decide whether this person is a suitable person or not. Is this person a doctor? And then you go to the issue of what exactly do I need from this person. Now, that is also a educated question that needs to be answered, because I may not know what is wrong with me. So I first need to find out what is wrong with me. And then I need to then go and, search for that, for a cure for that. In the case of spiritual illnesses, this is very difficult to do, because the difference between physical illnesses and spiritual illnesses, a physical illness does not hide itself. The physical illness is visible. There will be a pain. There will be some abnormality in your normal functioning of the body. It's not hiding anywhere. The physical illnesses which hide themselves are the most lethal. For example, pancreatic cancer, you almost never discover that you have it until the last stage, when it's incurable. By then, it's way beyond. So it's a good example to remind ourselves. But spiritual illnesses, every single one of them is in the nature of a pancreatic cancer. It is hidden. It hides itself, and that is why it's so important to identify them. So this whole issue of my conversation with my friend about the so-called fallen angels. So first thing, as I said, is very important for us to learn Islam, and learn Islam from the right sources, not from people who are pretending to be scholars and giving their own unsubstantiated, unsupported opinions about various matters, all under the big umbrella of saying, oh, but you see, we are living in modern times. There is nothing more modern than Islam. Please understand this. There is nothing more modern than Islam for a very simple reason, which is that Islam is the religion, Islam is the way of life that was prescribed by the one who created the zaman and makan, who created time and space and time and place. So for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is no ancient and there is no border and there is no future. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all of them are the same. So if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates something and says this works, it works for all time. All of these zaman and makan boundaries are for us. They're not for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there's nothing more modern about Islam. So if somebody comes and says, there's some titles of things like reinterpretation, or seeing the Quran in a modern light, Islam for the times. These are all, for me, these are big warning signals. Big warning signals. I wouldn't even open a book which has a title like that. Because I don't want to waste my time. Why should I know what this wonderful creature has decided to say? Because, alhamdulillah, we have the authentic authentic words and nothing more authentic than the Kitab of Allah, the Qur'an itself, and nothing more authentic than the Sunnah of Rasulullah ﷺ, the Ahadith Sharifa, and nothing more authentic than their interpretation by the greats, by the scholars whose memories Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept alive to this day. The list is very long, so I don't want to even begin with that list, but all of them. So, pick the right person, this scholar. Now, the reason I'm saying this importance of studying systematically under qualified scholars is because the alternative is to get hugely confused, like this whole issue of angels, fallen angels. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned very clearly that shaitan was, Iblis, was and is a jinn, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Kahf, which we are supposed to read every Friday, Allah said, وَأَوْذُ بِلَا مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ وَإِذْ قُلْنَا لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ اسْجُدُوا لِآدَمَ فَسَجَدُوا
إلا إبليس كان من الجن ففسق عن أمر ربه أفتتخذونه وذريته أولياء من دوني وهم لكم عدو بئس للظالمين بدلا.
Allah said and mentioned, when we said to the angels, prostrate to Adam, and they prostrated except for Iblis, he was of the jinn. Kana min al-jinn, Allah said, he was from the jinn. And he departed from the, disobeyed from the command of his Rabb. Then will you take him and his descendants as allies other than me while they are enemies to you? Wretched it is for the wrongdoers as an exchange. I want to remind myself and you that this struggle between good and evil, like people talk about, this is for us in this life only. There is no struggle between Allah and Shaitan. Let's understand this very clearly. There is no struggle between good and evil as in God and the devil and Satan. These are all Christian confusions. The struggle between good and evil is within ourselves. There is no struggle between Allah and Shaitan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu is the creator and Shaitan is the creature. No creature can fight against his creator. The fight is with ourselves, between our desire to disobey and our intrinsic nature to obey. Let's understand this. It is the nature, the fitrah of the human being to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we disobey Allah, we are going against our own fitrah. We are going against our own nature. That is why we say when people convert to Islam, we say, we use this word revert. They say revert because Islam meaning submission is the original state. So when a person is, they're not converting from one to the other, they're just going back to their original state, which is they are reverting to Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in this fight is therefore, it is between our own desire to disobey and our intrinsic nature to obey. That's the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in His infinite mercy, gave us the opportunity to repent and to return to Him. Now think about this. We say, Shaitan deceived me, right? Shaitan led me astray and so on. Think about who deceived Shaitan? Who led Shaitan astray? His own nafs. The one who deceived Shaitan was his own nafs, was his own desire. And in that nafs of his, what is it that deceived him? What was the cover? And that was arrogance. He said, "Ana khairun minhu. I am better than him. How can you order me to make sajda to Adam? Adam is less than me. I am better than him." On what basis? On a racial basis. Because he's talking about, I am jinn, he's human, I am made from fire. خَلَقْتَنِي مِنْ نَارِ وَخَلَقْتَهُ مِنْ تِينِ. You made me from fire, you created him from clay. Right? So he's saying specifically, he's not saying, I know more than him, not knowledge, not, any other thing. Basic creation. He's saying, I'm better than him because I'm created superior. Think about what racial superiority is today. Why does one race say that they are superior to another race? And believe me, this is not only about white and black. I have seen black on black racial racism. I have seen our Desis, the subcontinent people. India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, probably we are the most racist in the world. Because we look down on everybody, except for the whites. We look up to the whites. But everyone else, we look down upon. Racism is a human condition. It's a evil. It's a cancer which afflicts everyone. In this country, you see white racism. And we say it is nasty. But believe me, any racism is nasty. Not only white racism. So this is what Shaitan did. The first sin that was committed was a sin based on arrogance. And the sin of being a racist, and this was a deception of the nafs of Shaitan. The one who deceived Shaitan was his own nafs, was his own desire, was his own. That is the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called the obedience to our desires the tyranny of feelings. I feel this, therefore I can do it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called it shirk. Araita mani takhadha ilahahu hawa. Allah said, have you not seen them who have taken as their deity, as their gods, their own desires? And that's what Shaitan did. He took as his god, instead of Allah, he took his own desire, his own arrogance, as his God, and he obeyed his arrogance and he disobeyed Allah. Allah said, submit. He said, no, I am superior. I will not submit. And that is the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us in his infinite mercy. He kept the door of repentance, the door of istighfar and tawbah open till our last breath. Once we see the angel of death, Malakul Maut, it shuts. That is why it is so important to repent and stop doing any sins as soon as we become aware that they are sins, because we don't know when that moment will come. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us always to be obedient to Him. Shaitan is the best example of what happens when you do something wrong and refuse to repent. And that's why I always make this dua. Those of you who listen to me, you must have heard this many times. I say, oh Allah, save me from myself. Oh Allah, save me from myself. And that's why I mean, save me from my own nafs. And this is something that we should really ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's protection from our own nafs. وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا رحمة الله.